At the offertory of today's Mass, we pray in the secret. O Lord, firmly establish our families in thy peace and grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And your family? The Russian author, Leo Tolstoy, opens his famous novel, Anna Karenina, with the sentence, "Happy families are all alike. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way." Is yours a happy one? Surely it must be, if it is to be a holy one. And if happy, then think of it, there's some point of similarity between yours and the Holy Family we honor today, and many a family of saints. I think especially of the Martin family, St. Teresa's. Her parents, they were saints. Zelie came from the mother, a very, very strict, austere French family. She recalled that her childhood was shrouded in sadness. I think she resolved that her children wouldn't be raised that way. She wrote to a brother once, "I have never known any pleasure in my life." But when she married, she created a family of love. "I am madly in love with children. I was born to bear them," she wrote once in a letter. She tried to become a nun at 18, a daughter of charity, but the superior sent her away with a vague word that she was meant to be married, and so she was. She married Louis Martin. He was a very devout young man. He loved God, and he had a love for heights, for mountains, and for solitude. In his married life, he claimed the attic for himself. He had a little sort of a, not a man cave, but it was more of a chapel or a little hermitage for himself all the way on top, and the girls were not to go up and disturb him. He wanted to be a canon of the great St. Bernard. You know, those priests that used to help out stranded travelers on their skis passing the Alps, and they had the dogs, the St. Bernards, with the brandy keg under their chins. Actually, the seminary in Switzerland, St. Pius X at Econe, started out as a monastery of that order. They raised the dogs there. And the superior of our seminary at that time, he was a canon of the great St. Bernard. But Louis, as a young man, did not know any Latin, not enough to be a priest. And so they sent him back home to France to study, and as he studied, he got sick and very sick, and he gave up the project. Instead, he turned to watchmaking, and he built a very successful business in a few years' time as a watchmaker. They were both very devout, and they practiced what you would do well to practice, custody of the eyes. How they ever met each other, they say, is a bit of a miracle. But they ran into each other on a bridge, and Zelie's mother had something to do with it, and they fell in love, and they got married. The Lord blessed them with 5 surviving daughters. Marie, the oldest, was Teresa's, the youngest's, godmother. And like Teresa, she was an independent and nonconformist kind of a child. But to her father, she was the diamond. Then came Pauline, her mother's favorite, the fine pearl of her father. She would end up, after Zelie's death, being a second mother to Teresa. And later on, in the convent, she would be the mother superior, as she was elected to be the prioress more than once. The middle daughter was called by gentle Louis Martin his good-hearted Leonie. But she grew up to be a bit of a black sheep of the family. And they treated her this way. It was a sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. She was teased sometimes, but she was also seriously set apart. For family decisions, she was never in the loop, and they sent her away for long periods of time. She was a relatively unsociable girl. Her health was not good, and she was unconventional. She didn't like, as a child, to read the long prayers good children read back in the France of that day, but she loved to hear stories, and one time she heard the story of the Passion of Our Lord, and she wept. And the rest of the girls were embarrassed at that, because that wasn't the proper thing to do. She was often obstinate, and sometimes Léonie showed very poor judgment. Now, Céline was the closest in age to Thérèse. She was bright and lively. Her daddy named her the Dauntless One, and she was the jewel of her mother's heart, and Teresa's constant companion and confidant. And then came St. Teresa herself, and she was, well, extraordinary in every possible way. She was loved. She was so loved by everyone. She was surrounded and formed by that in the little family nest at Les Buissonnettes. And her father always referred to her as his little queen. She reflects on this in her autobiography that her sister Pauline actually had her to write. "I wonder," she wrote, "I wonder how you were able to raise me with so much love without spoiling me." The extraordinary thing about this family wasn't its great piety or its prayers or unworldliness. In the 19th century French context, the French are always either very, very good or very, very bad. Well, the Catholics were those, by definition, those families, who withdrew in some sense from the world. And they actually organized their family life a bit like a convent. They could be so regular because they had servants. They ignored the fashions of the day. They often went together to the 5:30 Mass in the morning. And Sundays was a day for church, the Mass and the Vespers. It was a day for family visiting and a day for prayer. But they prayed every day, morning and evening prayer together, the rosary. The father would read to the children at night, often from the liturgical year, by Dom Guéranger. They had no great ambition for money, for success, or getting ahead in the world, for their children. None of that. It was a home that abounded in virtue, faith, as we have seen, and there was charity, too, charity for the poor. Even Zélie, even the mother, would sometimes take poor people in and have them live in the with the family for a while. There are the usual spats and little jealousies children will have, but there was always forgiveness, and there was no business about holding grudges and respect. You can't have a holy, happy family unless you have respect. I mean, all the way down. It was a profound and a reverent respect. One time, Thérèse, she must have been maybe about 4 or so, the whole family was outside in the garden, and she was on the swing. Someone was swinging her, and her father was seated, and he called to her. He said, "Thérèse, come here." And she, happily, without even thinking about it, said something which was a little bit crude. And she said, "Papa, bouge-toi," which means, "Daddy, well, move yourself. You come to me." And then everything stopped. The father had an afflicted look on his face. And he went into the house. And the girls couldn't believe she had said that. And when she realized what she had done, Thérèse spent the rest of the day weeping to make up for her disrespect. That's a different world, isn't it? Do you see any similarity between this family and your own happy family? Perhaps rather in the matter of crosses and of trials, illness and death. In 3.5 years, 2 baby boys and 1 little girl died in infancy. And another girl who was almost 6, she died as well. When Teresa was little, she lost her mother, Zélie, to a painful death of cancer. When Teresa was born, her mother could not nurse her. So according to the custom of the day, she was sent out to live with a wet nurse in the country. And so her first year of life was away from her mother and family. And when she came back, it was a tremendous adjustment for her to get used to a new mother and a new family. Her father eventually lost his mind and ended up several years in an insane asylum. Today we would simply call it dementia. Back then it was different. When he returned home, sometimes Leonie took care of him or sometimes Celine, but they also had a hired caregiver, as people will, and this person was often drunk on duty, which was a great grief too. And Teresa herself, she got tuberculosis. Back then, TB was a highly disrespectable disease, which well-born people didn't get. It was thought of in such a way that the doctor wouldn't even diagnose it or treat it as such for the longest time. Leonie almost died as a little girl too, and she was prayed back to good health by her aunt, who was a visitation nun, Sister Docite. But her aunt prayed for her to recover on one condition, that this child become a saint. And she did. She was the only girl who didn't become a Carmelite. She was a visitation sister like her aunt. But even this blessed family's mistakes, I think, served God's glory. There should be some comfort here for us. Because with faith, things turn out well. You would have thought, for example, that Therese, who was perky and pretty and ever so willful and made over, was spoiled to hear the exaggerated tales of her childhood, her stubbornness, for example. Or Leonie, who was so often ignored. She was never praised. She was never given credit for anything that she did. The others were, especially Therese, but never Leonie. You think that she would have been bitter with a chip on her shoulder. But no. She turned out, they say, to follow her youngest sister's little way better than all of the rest, because grace can triumph over nature, and love corrects human hurts and failings. Inevitable. And Leonie always kept a certain simplicity and humility, and in a very touching way, she genuinely admired all of her other sisters. What strikes me most about the Martin family, it was obviously practically a saint factory, is that one single element, which I think is the one that makes children turn out well, secure, self-confident, in a good way, strong in the faith, and able to save their souls. This is what her family gave Therese, and what she gave in turn to the world. God was pleased, she wrote, all through my life to surround me with love, and the first memories I have are stamped with smiles and the most tender caresses. How different her childhood was from her mother's, and deliberately so. She experienced her days as full of joy, and she responded with spontaneity and with delight to each day's new beginning. Although, she wrote, God placed so much love near me, he also sent much love into my little heart, making it warm and affectionate. This is how it works for not perfect families, but for happy families. Through the experience of family love, Therese learned about human love, which became, in turn, the basis for her understanding of divine love and mercy. She learned at home as well that love is not to be hoarded. It's not just for the home and family. It's not just for friends. It's also for the poor and for those who are in need. And even, this is extraordinary, Love is for the unlovable. Probably the best example of what this family's love nurtured in Teresa's extraordinary soul occurred when she was a little girl once. Do you know the story? It was at night, on a very, very clear night, and the stars were all magnificent in the sky. And she was out with her father, and she looked up at the sky with him, and she writes, "There was especially one cluster of golden pearls," that's what she called stars, "that attracted my attention and gave me great joy because they were in the form of a T, T for Teresa. And I pointed them out to Papa, and he told me my name was written in heaven." The father tells the daughter, "Your name is written in heaven." Then, desiring to look no longer upon this dull earth, I asked him to guide my steps, and not looking where I placed my feet, I threw back my head, giving myself over completely to the contemplation of the star-studded firmament. Remarkable and strikingly similar to that technique they use in very trendy retreats, religious or non-religious today, is called a trust walk. I think the idea is you're supposed to fall back and count on somebody to catch you. That's a stretch. But in the family, with your father, it's not at all. It was for Teresa a spontaneous act of exuberant trust and childlike innocence. All happy families, Tolstoy says, are alike. You have something in common with the Martins. Could it be the strong faith, perhaps even the hurts, the heavy crosses that together your family has borne with faith? Or maybe the grace-filled healings for your own weaknesses and errors? But most of all, the love, at once divine and human, which you know in your faith, in your soul, with which you surround your children and grandchildren as God does his. That is everything to establish our families in peace and grace. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.